Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 421, the stanzas 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling, though passing through a vale of tears, thy grace, O God, to him appears. And what follows, Psalter 421, the stanzas 3 and 4. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 8, the verses 26 through 40. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 8, beginning with verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, once more on this day, then as a people, then we approach unto thy throne with our unclean lips, with all our blessings, with our needs, with our desires, and with our sins. Thou knowest most perfectly how that each and every boy and girl, our youth, and also the older ones, how that they have come up to thy house. May there be a true advent, people. Perhaps Zechariah and Elizabeth with an unanswered prayer, and perhaps where it seems more impossible that it can no more, and yet a people that cannot let thee go, Lord. May it then be in this season that thou may be a surprising God, as thou hast been for a Zacharias, for an Elizabeth, and in due time, notwithstanding all his unbelief and his dumbness, that they were given to embrace their little John, and that they were both given to sing thy praises. Well, thou grant, we read of a young Mary and of a Joseph, that they greatly feared the Lord, received a visit, and received instruction. May there be a Simeon with an unfulfilled promise. And oh, we read of an old Anna that was so busy with the things of the Lord day and night, and not leaving her place empty in the temple. Then there were shepherds, Lord, was all thy work. Thou hast begun that good work. Thou hast granted those exercises, place at thy throne, and thou hast also fulfilled all their needs. And thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. May it please thee to bless thy word, that true, that deep need for advent, that it may be experienced. Oh, to become a seeking people, a people that cannot let thee go, except thou blessest, but also those further leadings, not to be satisfied with our need, but to receive that fulfillment. And as we have heard in this morning, that thine eye shall behold the King in his beauty. May it please thee to bless the manifold means of grace to that end. The means of grace, they are so abundant. The seed of thy word may be sown, howbeit with many shortcomings, and thou wast promised that it shall not return void unto thee. Lord, may thou grant in this dark and evil time that we may see more of those fruits, then thy name shall be glorified. And what greater token could thou grant to us as a congregation? Well, thou remember the consistory, grant many a Aaron's and hers, bless their manifold labors, Who wilt thou bless the instruction to the youth, catechism classes, the confession of faith class. Bless thy word in the family circles. May there be much family worship. Bind the families together round about the truths of thy word and the old ways, and that it may be blessed for the upcoming generations. Bless our Christian school when daily thy holy word may be opened. Make it a blessing for young and old. Remember the many that may labor therein, different places, different capacities. They all need thy help. Wealth of grand traveling mercies to and fro. We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. Wealth, thou remember our denomination. Thou knowest the difficulties with the close borders. Thou hast all hearts in thy hand. Then we may humbly ask thee, if it may please thee, that at thy time they may be opened. Also concerning the curatorium, concerning our classes, and many different committees. Wilt thou remember all those that are denied free access to the means of grace, for the greatest part of the world, the Sabbath day, has already run its course. Wilt thou remember all those that have been persecuted in this day, arrested, put in prison, put to death, when their churches have been burned down. Remember all the family circles in distress, all those that have met with fear and trembling, perhaps still fearing that they have been betrayed. May their eyes be upon thee and our Lord. May we many times be given to consider the blessings that thou hast left amongst us, that we may have thy word, Bibles in our homes, personal Bibles, and then to examine what we do with thy word. May there be more earnest searching and an asking for thy blessing. Remember all mission fields, also our mission field. Remember thy servants, remember the team. Wilt thou bless thy holy word. Thou knowest that there are many needs, and if it may please thee to yet incline a heart to become a church worker. Remember also the Jewish people. Wilt thou remember us and our children. Wilt thou remember all the family circles, the father and mother whom thou wast blessed with a little one in the past week. Then by renewal we commend that little family unto thee. May in the midst of family circles, may love abound between husbands and wives, between parents and children, and when it is not so, may there yet come repentance and a bowing of the knees and asking for thy help, and what has been separated, bring it together. Wilt thou remember the struggles with temptations and addictions. Wilt thou deliver. Then by renewal we commend unto thee the old father in the hospital with grave concerns that thou wast spared hitherto. May he on his hospital bed be given to cry mightily unto thee. Remember for body and soul. Remember his dear wife. Remember all of our elderly ones Remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Ah, Lord, may out of that mourning another mourning be born. Remember the handicapped ones with the difficulties of the body and with the mind. Wilt thou provide for our daily bread? Wilt thou remember man and remember beast? And impress upon all our hearts the solemnity and the seriousness of the time, that the judgments that they are hovering so low over us in awe, Lord, who taketh it to heart, may there yet be a turning unto thee while it may yet, and while it can yet, and that the seriousness of the times, that it may drive us and our children many times on our knees, mightily crying unto thee, that thou may remember us with all the difficulties, and the difficulty shall only increase. But thou hast written in thy word, those that may be given to trust in thee, oh, it shall and it can be tried, but they shall not be put to shame. We now humbly ask thee for thy help in this evening hour, and speaking and in listening. Oh, we are so dependent upon thee for everything. Wilt thou bless us with thy special presence and with thy special favor thou hast promised in thy word, where two or three are in my gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. May the King be held forth in his beauty. Wilt thou arouse to a holy jealousy, O Lord? Convert us and our children, as thou doth convert all thy people. Wilt thou remember what we forget? Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name? Amen. Psalter 65, the stanzas 1 through 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead. If his word they still obey, and his testimonies heed. And what follows, Psalter 65, the four stanzas. Thank you. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 25, the question and answer 65 through 68. Question 65, since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence does this faith proceed? Answer, from the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. Question 66, what are the sacraments? Answer, the sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal, for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Question 67, are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Answer, yes, indeed. For the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. Question 68, how many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? Answer, two. Namely, Holy Baptism and the Holy Supper. Lord's Day number 25 speaks of the working and strengthening of faith. Three thoughts. First, an important confession and question. Secondly, the preaching of the gospel. And thirdly, the administration of the sacraments. The working and strengthening of faith. An important confession and question. The preaching of the gospel. And the administration of the sacraments. Thus first, an important confession and question. Beloved congregation, concerning the faith that the Lord works in the heart of his people, then we have already heard much concerning that faith. Then in Lord's Day number 7, the essence of faith, what true saving faith is. The Lord's Day number 8 through 22, the summary of what the church is called to believe, that they may be saved. And Lord's Day number 23, then we have heard of the prophet of faith, that is the justification of the sinner. And then Lord's Day number 24, That is a further explanation of Lord's Day number 23. And now in this Lord's Day, and in the Lord's days to come, then we hope to hear how the Lord works and strengthens that faith in the heart of a child of God. And then the question in this Lord's Day, that is a profound question, that is an important question, but it is also a confession, because then we read, since then, that is not the first since then that we have heard in our catechism. Do you know where that first since then is found? That is found in Lord's Day number 5. And that first since then, that shall be experienced by a child of God before the since then in Lord's Day number 25. Because in Lord's Day number 5 we have heard since then, we by the righteous judgment of God deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there then a way that we can escape this punishment? And do you remember what follows? Ah, there is a people that knows it. Because the Lord has a people by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit, that it goes not only to escape those everlasting burnings of which we have heard in this morning. Oh, it is true. They ponder, they meditate much about those things, and they learn that they have deserved it. But that is not the only point. Not only to escape punishment, but to be received into favor. God will have his justice satisfied, and that satisfaction must be made by us or by another. There you have the Advent exercises for souls that are burdened with their sins and that need to be pardoned, a desire to live to the honor and glory of God. But now what a precious confession. Since then, we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only. Then we hear by renewal from the instructors, also when they hope to speak of the means of grace, that it is their desire to extol free and sovereign grace, excluding everything from man. Then we have heard it before, the same order. First made partakers of Christ, and then all his benefits. Then maybe a soul asking this evening, oh, I may believe I have a little hope that I have received a few of those benefits. Ah, that the Lord has shed his love abroad in my heart. Oh, a very little faith, a hope, humility, repentance. But that Christ is so hidden. In the moment of regeneration, then the Lord looks down upon a sinner through his beloved Son. But now it is necessary in the further exercises that they do not only receive the gifts. Oh, it is only through Christ. Thus in this confession since then, we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits. Then by renewal, the instructors, they are speaking against the free will of man, because the Lord can only look down upon the children of men through his beloved Son. But now it is necessary to be led into those mysteries. as since then we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits, then in that question, then the instructors by renewal are stressing the importance that sinners come to a saving knowledge of the dear Son of God. There can be so much rest outside of that only name. May it please the Lord in this Advent season that there may be souls stirred up and that they may be given to see that they need that precious child that was born in the stable of Bethlehem, whose name is called Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. Since then, we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits. What is thy only comfort in life and death? Then by renewal, since then we are made partakers, then we are called to examine ourselves. Have we learned it in the way of experience? Can we repeat with the instructor? Have we received a true hope? There can be much false hope, building upon sandy foundations. But now the importance, since then, we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith, with less we cannot do congregation, and more we do not need. And then the instructors are given to stress by faith only, and then they mean a true faith wrought in the heart by the Holy Spirit in the hearts of the elect. But then the question upon that confession, whence does this faith proceed? Thus the question in this evening, when we have heard in the past weeks, the past Lord's days, of all the precious things that the church is called to believe, and without the Spirit they can do nothing, John 15 verse 5, without him we can do nothing. When we have heard of those precious things and the benefits that Christ has merited for his people and what the Lord has laid away for his people, then should the question, has that now been our question? How do I now receive that true saving faith? Because it is a matter of death and life. What the instructors are given to confess and relate here, that is necessary to appear before the Lord. John 17 verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Thus has that been now our question, has that now been our concern in daily life, when we see that our neighbor has received something precious, or that his crops are prospering, or that his animals are doing exceptionally well, then many times the question is asked, what such a farmer is doing, is he doing something very special? Then we desire to do the same. Thus that is a very common question in daily life concerning our temporal goods. How do I now obtain those goods? In the business world, that word profit, what a word it is, that there may be a profit at the end of the year. That is now the question in our Lord's day. How do I obtain that true saving faith? And then the answer from the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. When we read of the Holy Ghost, that of course does not exclude the Father and the Son, because we have heard from Lord's Day number 20 that the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and from the Son. And we read also concerning these matters, the work of the Holy Spirit, we have heard of the person of the Holy Ghost explained in Lord's Day number 20. And there it was already explained that he is given, that he comforts and abides with me forever. We have heard from the prophet Zechariah, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And then concerning that precious work of the Spirit, Christ has spoken thereof in John 16, the verses 8 through 10, that when he has come, he shall reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Oh, think of the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, that 3,000 were pricked in their heart, and that were saved. But this work is also ascribed to the Father. In Matthew 16, verse 16, when Peter has made that precious confession, but thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, then Christ has said, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father in heaven. This precious work, that is also ascribed unto the Son, because we read in Hebrews 2, verse 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thus in this Lord's Day, then the instructors are speaking of the means of grace that the Lord uses to work that faith. And may it be more impressed upon all our hearts, because we have heard it in the former question, in question 64, but doth not this doctrine make men careless and profane? And when we do not see the blessedness of the means of grace, when we no longer believe that the Lord blesses the means indeed, when we are given to think that it does not make so much difference whether we diligently use the means of grace, because if we are a chosen one, then we shall be converted anyway. And it is true, the chosen ones, they shall be converted. But let us always remember that the Lord uses means, the same in nature. Then the Lord has used means that he may be blessed, food and drink for our body. And then we are required to use the means. And to that end, what an important Lord's Day this is, when it speaks of the means of grace to gather, but also to strengthen the faith of the living church. And therefore the instructors have said, from the Holy Ghost who works faith in our hearts, by the preaching of the gospel. That is our second thought, the preaching of the gospel. Then in this Lord's Day, then the instructors also in the explanation of the Heidelberg Catechism by Zacharias Ursinus, then he does not spend so much time explaining the preaching of the gospel, because in the time of the Reformation, we hope to hear it in the coming Lord's days, there were many different thoughts concerning the sacraments, much confusion, and to that end the instructors, they were inclined to spend more time in explaining the sacraments and the administration thereof than the preaching of the gospel. And let us remember, when we speak of the means of grace in this Lord's Day, the preaching and the sacraments, they are mentioned, but that prayer in the Westminster Catechism's both shorter and larger, Then prayer is also mentioned as a means of grace. But the instructors, they have kept prayer to the part of gratitude, because then we later read, is prayer necessary for Christians? But the instructors, they have focused especially on the preaching of the gospel and the use of the sacraments. That word preaching, that means to proclaim, to herald, to the children of men. And that word gospel, that means good news. And who now stands in need of that good news? That is an Advent, people. Are there such souls truly with an Advent need? With exercises, have there been a few souls that have begged so fervently that in this season that you may experience the wonderful things of the Lord, the same as we read of the church in the New Testament, because we have such a great God. And now concerning that gospel, oh, what a precious, precious message that is for the guilty, those on the death row under capital punishment, the prisoners, the sick, the afflicted, the persecuted, and the comfortless. Those are those who need the gospel. But now concerning the preaching of the gospel, then that is two purposes. In the first place, to work faith. And in the second place, to strengthen faith. Thus the importance of the preaching of the gospel. The instructors have stated it in a few words. But that preaching of the gospel, that is very wide and that is very broad. Thus that concerns the reading of the scriptures, the searching of the scriptures, memorization, that we memorize the scriptures, also the singing out of the scriptures, the preaching of the gospel, that concerns the family circle. That word begins, that's what fathers and mothers have promised. Of course, also helps. That is the church. That is the Christian school. And now concerning the preaching and the proclamation and the reading of that word, then there are many precious promises in God's word concerning His word. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 1, cast thy bread upon all waters, and after many days thou shalt find it. Think of Isaiah 55 verse 11, that his word shall not return void unto him. 2 Corinthians 2, the verses 15 and 16, that it shall be a savior either of life unto life or death unto death. And to that end, the necessity that it is accompanied with much unceasing prayer, that it may please the Lord by His Spirit to bless thy word. In the canons of Dort, the third and fourth head, the last article, article number 17, there the instructors or the composers of those articles, they have stressed that the more diligent that we are in using the means of grace, that generally the greater blessing rests upon it. You can read the whole article when you come home. Fathers and mothers, before your children, and may that be encouragement also for us in these dark and evil times, because it could be asked. We live in a time that the means of grace, that they are more abundant and readily available than ever before. Oh, in the time of the Reformation, many families did not even have a Bible. And in earlier days, not so many books. And now Bibles, affordable. Our boys and girls, they have Bibles that they read before they go to bed. The family Bible. And yet, with all the means of grace, is that ever our question? Why does the Lord is still working. Lord still has a people. And the Lord is still gathering a people. But with all the means of grace, before they were not so readily available, why does the Lord hold his hand so still? Is that ever our question and ever our concern? May it bring us on our knees, and may we be given to beg the Lord for a richer outpouring of his Holy Spirit. When we consider the means of grace, his holy word, then we speak of the external call and we speak of the internal call. The external call that comes to all who are under the word, and without that external call, without God's word, we have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook, whether the knowledge of God out of nature, whether that is sufficient to be saved. And then he has given a very clear answer, no, because the knowledge of nature can never teach us the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to that end, let us never minimize being under the external calling. We read in Romans 3, the verses 1 and 2, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? And then he says much every way, because that the oracles of God were entrusted unto him. And the Lord gathers his church where his word is brought. And we may believe where the truth of God's word is still proclaimed, that there is still a church that must and shall be saved. Thus what a blessing it is to be under the external call, and that we faithfully use the means. Oh, it is true. We need the application of the Holy Spirit. Boys and girls, we can compare it to a sailboat. You know what a sailboat is. A sailboat has sails. And now, if we have a sailboat and there is wind, and we do not put up the sail, then our boat shall not move so much. But if we may put up the sail, and the wind may blow, then that boat shall move. Just a simple example, the importance of diligently using the means of grace. Of course, that external call that also brings upon us a great and a solemn responsibility, because we shall have to give an account not only of what we have heard, but what we could have heard, and therefore the necessity to faithfully use the means of grace. Luke 12, verse 48, unto whom much is given, much shall be required. And what is now necessary, that external call, that by the work of the Holy Spirit, that it becomes an internal call, that not only concerning our mind, but our heart. And Reverend Hellenbrook, he has stated in his lesson that there are four things that must be changed. In the first place, our understanding that is darkened, it must be enlightened, that God's word, that it begins to speak to us with power and with authority. Our affections that are perverse, that they may be sanctified, that it becomes our holy desire to live according to this word. Our will, which is perverse by nature, that it becomes conformable to the will of God. And our conversation and our walk, that it may be sanctified. Thus, in our hearts, by the preaching of the gospel, and now the Lord, he is so free and he is so sovereign when he begins that good work. Most are converted in their youth. It's not mean elderly ones that it is impossible, but most are converted in their youth. Reverend Brackel, in his reasonable service, and then he is speaking of a congregation where the word of God has always been brought. Then he has said, experience teaches us that the Lord converts most between 14 and 25. That is a message for those that have become 25. How is it? Has the Lord begun that good work? Oh, the privilege and the blessing when the Lord may begin early. Reverend Smedegelt in a sermon has said before 30 years, oh, I have read of a man that he was 30 years and the Lord used it as an arrow in his heart, that it was the Lord's time. The Lord is so free and sovereign. The one he converts suddenly, powerfully, as a Saul on the way to Damascus, the jailer. We have different examples, most more in a gradual way. Ah, many souls between faith and unbelief, between joy and sorrow. But it is the same work, and they are taught the same matters. And as a general rule, the deeper that a soul may be uncovered and led into their deep misery, as a general rule, the richer the proclamation of the gospel shall be, that they may be given to behold the King in his beauty. Thus, the Holy Spirit worketh that faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel. And now the question, has that now taken place? Most important of everything. We need many things in this world. Food and drink, a house, can multiply it out. But the blessing that is spoken of in this Lord's Day, that is indispensable. That is a blessing that is a comfort for the body and for the soul. That is a blessing for the time and for eternity. Has the Lord now begun that good work? That is now the crucial question in this evening hour. Oh, shall it be well? Then we need to learn those sin-stands, Lord's Day 5, but also the further leadings. But there needs to be a beginning. And when there is a beginning, not to rest in that beginning, but to be further led. Thus, the Holy Spirit, He uses the preaching of the gospel to work faith, but also to strengthen faith, because that faith that comes under great attack, oh, that awful unbelief, circumstances, the providence of the Lord, mysterious ways, then it is so indispensable that faith, the nominal Christendom, they speak of a faith that they have taken and that they can keep, and that it is always a strong faith, but we have the proof it is not the true faith. To give a simple example, an artificial flower, you know what that is, boys and girls. That does not need to be watered, but that stays always the same. Does not matter where you put it, always the same. But now a living flower that has a living root. Oh, such a flower that needs to be watered each time by renewal, or that flower shall wither away. And so it is in the life of the people of God. But now that faith is not only strengthened by the preaching of the gospel, but also by the sacraments. That is our third thought. Let us first sing. Psalter 381, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. With grateful heart my thanks I bring, before the great thy praise I sing. I worship in thy holy place, and praise thee for thy truth and grace. And what follows, 381, 1, 2, and 3. the working and strengthening of faith. An important confession and question, the preaching of the gospel, and now thirdly, the administration of the sacraments. Concerning the using of the means of grace, we have mentioned Article 17 from the Canons of Dort, from the third and fourth head, and we shall read it. Because for our parents, then the children, when they come home, they soon have to go to bed. Then our forefathers have written, and may that be instruction and imprinted upon all our minds. As the almighty operation of God, whereby he prolongs and supports this our natural life, does not exclude, but requires the use of means, by which God of his infinite mercy and goodness hath chosen to exert his influence, so also the before mentioned supernatural operation of God, by which we are regenerated, in no wise excludes or subverts the use of the gospel, which the most wise God has ordained to be the seed of regeneration and food of the soul. Wherefore, as the apostles and teachers who succeeded them piously instructed the people concerning this grace of God to his glory and the abasement of all pride, and in the meantime, however, neglected not to keep them by the sacred precepts of the gospel in the exercise of the word, sacraments, and discipline, so even to this day, be it far from either instructors or instructed to presume to tempt God in the church by separating what he of his good pleasure hath intimately joined together. For grace is confirmed by means of admonitions, and the more readily we perform our duty, the more eminent usually is this blessing of God working in us, and the more directly is his work advanced, to whom alone all the glory, both of means and of their saving fruit and efficacy, is forever due. Amen. Have you heard it, congregation? Then we can hear when we are still unconverted whose fault it is. But now our third thought concerning the sacraments, the preaching of the gospel, that is for Eargate, and the administration of the sacraments, that is for Eygate. And now the instructors have said, the sacraments, that word we do not find in the Bible. That comes from a word that was used in the time when the early church was founded, and that word that means comes from a word that means a military oath that soldiers were given to make, and that military oath that bound to their prince, and that also pledged to service. Thus that already has much to say. And then we think of the parents when the Lord grants it on the coming Lord's Day to present their little children to be baptized. Then special instruction. Thus, with the baptism, then also concerning our children to bind herself to the Lord and to pledge his service. And in the Greek world, It was connected to their religious feast. It was a word that means to be consecrated. The sacraments are holy. Why are they holy? Because they are instituted by Christ, who was holy, for a holy people, not of themselves, and for a holy purpose. They are visible signs and seals, and a sign that instructs, that represents something else, that also points to something. Think of a road sign, boys and girls. But not only a sign, it is also a seal, and a seal that confirms. We think we have an important letter. When there is a seal of an important official underneath, that confirms the truth of that letter. Then other times, a seal as a stamp that confirms that it is real. Think of a stamp that is placed upon gold. No, that stamp does not make the gold, but it confirms that it is gold. The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals, appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof, he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel. That is also an important statement concerning the sacraments. What does the sacrament of holy baptism and the Holy Supper now seal? That seals not the grace in the person, because we know in the Old Testament that it was not all Israel that was called Israel. Many of those that were circumcised, they were also unconverted. Thus the sacrament does not seal the grace in a person, because the Lord only knows the heart, but that it seals, as the instructors have stated, and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. And then there is further asked, then we see also in this Lord's Day that the instructors, they have a desire to lift up that precious mediator and his precious work, what he has done that his church may be saved, because we read three times in the words of 66 and 67, the sacrifice of Christ and also of the cross, three times. And then even in the question, then they are given to repeat and to stress, the instructors have a desire that there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Then the instructors, they have a desire to impress upon the heart of the people of God the necessity to come to a saving knowledge of the Son of God. And to that end are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation. Answer, yes indeed, for the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. And now it is pleased the Lord Jesus Christ in his great mercy to institute two sacraments to that end. former theologians, they have also spoken of different sacraments in the Old Testament. And then we are not speaking of the sacraments of circumcision and of the Passover, but different ones have spoken of the Tree of Life, the rainbow, the pillar. But those matters, in the first place, they are not instituted to be a sacrifice. In the second place, they are not for all ages. And in the third place, they are not repeated. Then it is clear, two sacraments in the Old Testament and two sacraments in the New Testament, namely the sacrament of holy baptism and of the Lord's Supper. In the Old Testament, the sacraments were bloody, and in the New Testament, they are not. In the Old Testament, the sacraments pointed to Christ who was to come, and in the New Testament, they point to Christ who has come. Thus the means of grace, may it be impressed upon all of our hearts, the necessity, but also the blessing of the means of grace. The Lord has promised that it shall bear fruit, and may it be our continual prayer concerning the Holy Scriptures, but also concerning the sacraments. Oh, may it please the Lord in a special way for those parents who hope to present their little children, not custom and not superstition, but to be exercised with these questions, what the sacraments point us to, and that is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he is still gathering his church, and that shall continue as long as the sun and the moon endure, as I read in Psalm 72, verse 5, but also not only the sign, to become exercised with the seal, and then we need to be converted, because we have stated that the sacraments, they are given to strengthen faith. Then maybe someone says, but if that is the case, and when I'm unconverted, that of course is an awful thing when we can say it so easy. But then we could say, when I am unconverted, then why should I come to church when the sacraments are administered? Because I need faith to be strengthened. And I have to say, I have no faith, nothing but unbelief. Let us always remember that the sacraments, they are always accompanied by the Word of God. And to that end, the Lord can use the sacraments that we are given to see how poor and how needy and how wretched and how lost we are. To that end, the Lord can also use the sacraments to convert people. Of course, there is a difference between the Word and the sacraments. The sacraments, they are visible. The Word is audible. Concerning the Word that works and strengthens faith, the sacraments only strengthen faith. There can be the Word without the sacraments, but there can never be the administration of the sacraments without the Word. And fourthly, we can be saved without the sacrament. Have been people under certain circumstances that have been converted and maybe have been suddenly taken away without the administration of the sacraments. We have read out of Acts 8. There we have heard how that the means of grace have been blessed. That Ethiopian, he has purchased a part of the scriptures, the prophet Isaiah, and he was so busy reading that scroll. And then Philip has joined himself to that chariot and asked, understand what thou readest. How can I accept? I have someone that teaches me. Then Philip was used. And then he was given to explain Isaiah 53. We preached unto him Jesus, the King in his beauty, that he was given to say, O Ethiopian, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has come to save the chiefest of sinners, how black we may be inwardly or outwardly. And then that he was also instructed concerning the sacraments. And then when they came to water, he had a desire to be baptized. Then both word and sacraments declare, Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day. Yet a few words to speak. Forgive everything that was amiss. And then we have heard of the means of grace which are appointed by thee to a certain end. Lord, may that end be experienced and realized more and more amongst us and our children, that thy word may be blessed, that many may be converted. May there also have been those, Lord, even if it would be one, that has been truly pricked in their heart, and that cannot explain themselves, but where it has all become so different, and where they are given to cry unto thee, Lord, that would be thy work. But we all stand in need of the same. Lord, give us not over to discouragement. Many have been under the means of grace already for so many years. But, wilt thou grant a richer time, that thou may work lovingly and richly, mightily in the hearts of young and old. Lord, wilt thou also remember when on the coming Lord's Day then the sacrament of holy baptism hopes to be administered. Wilt thou grant exercises to that end? Wilt thou remember fathers and mothers? May they come extra times on their knees and be given to speak one to another concerning that one thing needful, where there is so much that is not understood also concerning the sacraments, then we need light from above. Lord, remember also tomorrow evening with the instruction of the youth. Wilt thou remember the week which we have commenced? Wilt thou keep us from harm and danger? Keep us from sin and temptation? Wilt thou keep? Wilt thou guide? Wilt thou protect? Wilt thou spare? And wilt thou grant in the day of tomorrow that the labors may be taken up, remember, in the home, at work, on the way, in the school, wherever we are called to be. Wilt thou guide all our thoughts, our words, and our deeds? Wilt thou grant a prayer for one another? May we be found to be more a begging people at thy throne of grace, O Lord. Do remember us in mercy. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 326, the four stanzas. Thy promised mercies send to me thy great salvation, Lord. So shall I answer those who scoff. My trust is in thy word and what follows. 326, the four stanzas. array save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.